Another day, another row between the DUP and Sinn Féin, this time over the Irish language. As Arlene Foster launched the DUP's election campaign yesterday, she gave a blistering warning to her political rivals.
If we have an Irish Language Act, maybe we should have a Polish Language Act as well, because there are more people in Northern Ireland that speak Polish than speak Irish. So, this characterisation of we should have given something to Sinn Féin to keep them appeased is not the way I do business. If you feed a crocodile, they're going to keep coming back and looking for more.
The Sinn Féin leader, Michelle O'Neill, said she would not get drawn into a war of words, while Gerry Adams poked fun at the outburst.
Not interested in the negativity.
See you later, alligator.
The Sinn Féin MLA, the former Sinn Féin MLA, Dahi Mackay, with us this morning. Dahi, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sam.
Good morning. And the DUP MLA, Nelson McCausland. Nelson, good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, Nelson, your reaction to what your colleague, Jonathan Bell, said there.
Well, in actual fact, I didn't hear what Jonathan Bell said.
He's the standards and independent.
And that's a matter for him. I did not hear what he said. I heard the last number of seconds of it, but I didn't hear the interview as such.
Are you sad that he's no longer in your party?
I'm not going to comment on something about which I know nothing. I haven't heard of him this morning. I was asked to come onto the programme to discuss an Irish Language Act. Funny enough, I was on Talkback yesterday. I was invited on with the same issue, and when I went on, it soon became apparent that it was about everything under the sun, almost except this. So I'm on to discuss that. I'm happy to discuss that. I didn't hear what Jonathan Bell said.
Yeah, OK. Well, look, we don't need to get tied up in knots, do we? But when a politician comes on a programme, and I grant that you didn't hear Jonathan Bell, but just to defend Talkback, you know, when you come on a programme, you're often asked, any politician is asked about daily issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they were doing anything wrong there.
I would expect that the presenter would start off on the issue. Others may deviate. Where you start the matter. So
okay, well, let's get into the issue today. Okay, so Arlene Foster saying that she will never allow an Irish Language Act. Why not? How is that conducive to us all living and working and sharing together in Northern Ireland?
Well, there are very good, strong reasons why there should not be an Irish Language Act in Northern Ireland. Good, sound, strong, practical reasons. The first is that an Irish Language Act of the type that has been proposed by Sinn Féin would be extremely expensive for Northern Ireland. Not just on a one-off basis or a second year or a third year, but in perpetuity. Sinn Féin were challenged to produce figures for the cost. They failed to do it. Our estimate is that it would be around £100 million a year. Now, that's based on the figures from Wales, where there is a Welsh Language Act, the cost to each individual council, to each hospital authority here, to each public body, whether it be the PSNI, whether it be any of the other, the housing executive, whatever. The cost across all of government, central government departments, all, when you tot it all up, it would be around £100 million a year. And it grows. Because when you look at the example in Wales, moved on from the public sector to demands on the private sector. And people should not imagine here that this would simply be a case of we do it in the public sector, but private sector isn't affected. Ultimately, that is what is the intention of those who advocate an Irish Language Act. It's expensive. Secondly, it would be extremely contentious and divisive.
Well, there are many things contentious in Northern Ireland.
Oh, indeed there are, but let's be honest about it. It is a contentious issue. So
why is it contentious to you?
Because whilst it is good that a country has indigenous languages, celebrates them, advocates for them, that's a good thing. They are part of the cultural heritage of a country. The difference here is that there is an agenda behind it. And it would be, first of all, as I said, they're extremely expensive. expensive. It'd also be...
Well, the agenda is clear, isn't it?
Let me just make the point.
Yeah,
here.
But the agenda is for people who see Irish language as their first language, they want to retain their identity without forcing you to use it.
Now, that's a very important point.
They want to retain their identity, and what right have you to stop them?
I'm glad that you make that point, because it's a point that I feel very strongly about, and I'm glad that you raised it, because you introduced the word there, identity. At the end of the day, this is not about language in terms of communication. Languages are primarily about communication. But in Northern Ireland, Irish is a heritage language. It's a language that has a relationship to and is central to, in many ways, a Gaelic-Irish identity. Now, that's an important point, because that's about the nationalist vision of building a Gaelic-Celtic Ireland. But to get back to the core issues, first of all, it's extremely expensive. Secondly, it would be impractical. Martin O'Muller was proposing that there should be Irish used in the court service. Now, where would you ever get a jury that was a balanced jury in Northern Ireland, where you had the business conducted in Irish? Where would you get all of the solicitors and so on, the legal people with the requisite skills? Because this is not conversational Irish you'd be talking about in a court. It's the extremely technical language of law. And therefore, when you get to justice being slow already in the court system, it would be even slower if you had all of the translation associated. So the cost, the impracticality, I could go on with all
that. Okay, well, let's let Dahi Mackay respond to this.
Well, I think, first of all, it should be recognised that the crux of this problem is the fact that the DUP, they did sign up to the St Andrews Agreement, and the St Andrews Agreement did say that, quote-unquote, an Irish Language Act will be introduced. So until this is resolved, and until the core agreements that are the foundation stones, effectively, of any functioning assembly, until those agreements are adhered to, I fail to see how we can get the political institutions up and going. But to come back to the core of what an Irish Language Act is, it is the same proposals that are in place in Wales. The rights are also enshrined in the south of Ireland and in Scotland. So what Irish language activists, what Irish language families are asking for here is nothing different from what is already accommodated everywhere else on these islands. So, and the cost aspect that Nelson refers to in terms of this costing £2 billion, that is...
No, £100 million.
Well, you said over a prolonged period of time.
Yeah, £100 million in 1 year.
Yes. Well, that is fake news, because he made reference to the fact that this headline figure came from Wales. But the BBC Wales report in which it was contained had to be followed
that figure wasn't
by an apology from BBC Wales, because the tally was inaccurate, and it followed a number of complaints to BBC Wales about the inaccuracy of the report. So, in reality, there will not be as significant a cost. But the fact of the matter is, we can't really get down to the details of cost until the principle is agreed. And to accommodate what would, in reality, be very few Irish language speakers availing of a court service through the medium of Irish, you know, there isn't going to be an overwhelming demand for that. Is it really that big of an ask to accommodate Irish speakers?
Why is it important to you?
It's important to me, but it's important... and I'm thinking first and foremost of those people who perhaps aren't even political in any way, but who live their daily lives through the medium of Irish, and they see that everywhere else in these islands, everywhere else in Europe, these rights are upheld and there's no controversy about it. You know, and it's, there are parallels here to the debate about equal marriage or marriage for LGBT couples. In that everywhere else it is accommodated, but the DUP are the problem when it comes to facilitating people's rights here, because it is a rights issue. And when you look at the different aspects of an act in terms of accommodating the development of Gaeltacht, allowing members of the Assembly to speak Irish without having to translate the entire speech into English, these are all accommodated elsewhere at little cost.
And Nelson, just to be clear, am I accurate in saying that Arlene Foster will never agree to the implementation of an Irish Language Act? Is that what she said?
I think she was very clear in what she said, but I want immediately to pick up on...
So, but am I, is that,
yes, I know that, but we can't
But is
allow,
that accurate?
Yeah, we can't allow half-truths or...
So we'll allow you to come back. We'll allow you to come back to Dahi in just a second, but just so that I'm clear, is that the position of the DUP? You will never allow an Irish Language Act?
Arlene Foster was absolutely clear about our position, and it has been the position...
Is that a yes?
That will be. Yes, of course, there will not be an Irish Language Act. Now, to get back to the points that were raised there by Dahi Mackay, first of all, I didn't pick up any figure from a BBC website in Wales. What I did do was take a couple of the councils in Wales, local councils, looked at the size of the council and the cost, then looked at councils in Northern Ireland. So councils in Wales, some of them were reporting a figure of around £700,000 for a small council. If you then look at our larger councils here, 11 councils, work it out, it becomes around 11, 12 million, or whatever the figure would be for the councils in Northern Ireland. You then look at all of the other public bodies and the government departments. You look at the cost, for example, in the Irish Republic, where it was £30 million, to train people who were already Irish speakers and competent Irish speakers in the technicalities of legislation. You look at the cost there, that's the figure that we got. It wasn't £2 million a year, let's be clear. It was £100 million a year. Secondly, when it came to talking about the legal system, he said, well, there wouldn't be many Irish speakers availing of that. Well, the whole purpose of the Irish Language Project within Sinn Féin is to grow the numbers year on year. So the cost would increase year on year and the demand would increase. And thirdly and finally, when it comes to talking about the St Andrews Agreement and the St Andrews legislation, could I direct Dathi to read an excellent article on the website Fact Check NI, where it goes in great detail into what was said, what was done, what was agreed and what was not agreed. And it's very clear at the end. That website goes through the thing in detail, and I encourage people to look at it. And it says at the end that there is no way in which the DUP ever committed to anything because it didn't really sign up to the fine detail there in that St Andrews Agreement. So let's be
the
clear.
The DUP didn't sign up fine detail of the St Andrews Agreement.
What I'm encouraging you to do.
The DUP did not sign up to the fine detail of the St Andrews Agreement.
Yeah, the St Andrews Agreement said that the British government, the UK government, which was...
No, what you just said is the DUP did not sign up to the fine detail.
Just a minute.
So what did you sign up to?
Well, if you'd stop interrupting, I could tell you. It's very clear when you read down that website and look at all of the statements, the quotes, and it's gone into it in intense detail. And it is actually written by, interestingly enough, the whole thing was done by someone who has a very Irish name, because the name at the bottom is written in Irish. I'll not attempt to offend people by mispronouncing it. The conclusion there at the end was the DUP at no point has ever agreed to establish an Irish Language Act with the UK government, with the Irish government, with Sinn Féin, or anybody else. And that's the position that was being restated by Arlene Foster yesterday. There's a misrepresentation by Sinn Féin around this. The detail is there for people to look through, and
okay,
it's very clear. So getting back to the course, because people I think are more...
Well, stay there, Nelson, because we've got to go to the news. We'll be back in just a second. The former Sinn Féin MLA, Dahi Mackay, with us this morning. The DUP MLA, Nelson McCausland. Patsy McLone from the SDLP joining us now too. Your reaction so far to what Nelson has said, Patsy? Good morning.
Well, I've been listening very carefully to what Arlene Foster said yesterday. And actually, as I see it, it was an attempt to create the usual bun fight, a sectarian-type bun fight in advance of an election, and to deflect away from her disastrous handling of the RHI debacle. Now, we move on to the Irish language. For me personally, I'm an Irish language speaker, and I found it very insulting that Arlene would debase the respect that she should have for other people in her community for the Irish language. I love the language, and for me, it's irrespective of whatever background you come from. I know some people, indeed some were at university with me, who were from a unionist background, who loved passionately the language, and the understanding that that language gave to them of their surroundings, the country that they lived in, place names and the likes. So therefore, for me, It's recognition of a culture, of an identity, of something very enriching, and that has opened many doors for many people to understanding in their lives. And that's why, in fact, I had been working on a private member's bill on the Irish Language Act up until whenever the election was called, and of course all that work fell with the calling of an election in this mandate.
And yet Nelson McCausland has set out this morning the cost of implementing the Irish Language Act. Well, now, those costs are disputed by some other parties.
Well, the actual costs of this, people have to sit down and work through the detail of it. But we've gone through it. We've seen it happening in Scotland and Wales where people can work readily with that, where in actual fact the costs of it are offset by the benefits to the economy, and we can all work through those details.
What would this act actually do?
I'm really not going to take any lectures from the DUP about costs whenever we have seen hundreds and hundreds of million blown over the RHI scandal and the likes of the Charter NI debacle, where they bogged money and social investment funds into to fund D. Stitton a 30 grand a year job. So I'm really not going to take any lectures from the DUP around that at all.
Nelson McCausland?
Well, I'll take no lectures then, could I say, in response from either of the two parties that are the strong advocates for an Irish Language Act, whether it be the SDLP or Sinn Féin. First of all, Arlene Foster made the point yesterday in answering a question. The question was put to her by a journalist, and she answered it. She was not the one who initiated that particular exchange. It was initiated by the journalist. Secondly, the figure you say has been disputed.
Correct.
Well, let's see a figure that's put forward, because when I challenged the former Sinn Féin Culture Minister, Carla Cullen, in regard to the cost, her answer was that it was difficult for a political party to estimate these things, and then it should really be done by civil
service. Yeah, but it's not just down to cost.
If I could just finish.
But your objection is not just down to cost.
Well, let's get the cost issue cleared up. When she was asked about it, she said a political party couldn't be expected to estimate this. And I disagree with that, because I think it's pretty easy to estimate by comparisons with Wales. But the key thing is, when she was minister and she had all the civil servants there working for her, she put out a consultation document on an Irish Language Act and refused to put a cost on it. I want also to pick up on Daithí Mackay's point. He compared Northern Ireland to the Irish Republic, Wales and Scotland, and said similar sort of thing. Well, the actual fact, the difference, there are differences between Irish Republic, Wales and Scotland. And if you take the Irish Republic, the position there is that the first language of the state in a preferential first position over English is Irish. Is that as his former party, is their position?
Okay.
As an all-Ireland party.
Okay, Daithí.
Party, do they want the first language in Northern Ireland to be Irish?
Daithí?
I think the problem is that everyone else is moving on, and it's 2017, and people really expect not only nationalists but unionists that the issue of an Irish Language Act will be dealt with and that we can move on, because if the Assembly is not restored because the DUP are dogmatic about issues like this and other rights-based issues, I think that the public will be more angry with the approach of Arlene Foster and others. And I think that the public are more in tune with actually some of the discussion about a pragmatic approach from Jonathan Bell earlier. But, you know, there's no excuse for not having accommodation in the courts. We've seen this morning that the PSNA are giving talks on internet safety to children at Irish medium schools through the medium of Irish. So the likes of the police service are moving on and dealing with service provision through the medium of Irish. Why can other services not do that? Why can the courts not do that? And why can the Assembly not recognise the rights of Irish-speaking members as well?
Well, all we're getting from the advocates here is a series of clichés about moving on. That's the sort of cliché that people resort to. The truth of the matter is, it's expensive, it's divisive, it would be discriminatory against people in the unionist community, the vast majority of whom, overwhelming majority of whom, have no knowledge or capacity in Irish. They maybe know a few words. And, of course, even the figures that were put into the census regarding the number of speakers, I can remember when the question about language was really reintroduced into the census after many, many decades, the columnist in Martin Mueller's Andersonstown News saying, if you can say Chucky Arla, put yourself down as an Irish speaker. Now, the number of people who are fluent, who are competent, who really live their lives in Irish is extremely small. I have to say also at this point...
But you're probably the wrong person to tell us.
Exactly.
How important Irish language is to that community and those people.
You misrepresent what I've just said. I did not say how important it was or unimportant. I was simply referring to the number of people who daily live their lives in Irish.
Can I just ask you a question before you go this morning?
I did say to your...
Okay, fair enough.
There's a time issue.
Fair enough. So let me ask you this question just before you go, because it's very important. You've said this morning that the DUP did not sign up to the fine detail of the St Andrews Agreement. I would have thought that in any agreement, the fine detail is important.
This was an agreement.
So you did not sign up to the fine detail of an agreement?
The agreement that was reached there was an agreement between governments. Other parties said they would take it back and look at it. It was an agreement between two governments, the government of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland and the government of the Irish Republic. As regards the DUP, that's our position.
So are you saying the DUP did not sign up to the whole St Andrews Agreement?
Stephen.
Sorry, this is vital.
No, Stephen.
Are you saying that the St Andrews Agreement was an agreement? I'm very calm. Are you saying that agreement was an agreement between governments and was not agreed to by the DUP?
Can I repeat what I said?
I heard what you said.
Well, you didn't seem to appreciate it or understand.
You said it was an agreement between governments.
And it was.
And not signed up to by the DUP.
Sorry, Stephen. We're asking here, did the Democratic Unionist Party sign up to an Irish Language Act?
That's not what I'm asking.
Sorry, no, Stephen, look, for goodness sake, would you allow people the respect, at least?
But you're diverting away from my question, Mr. McCausland. I'm not asking you about the Irish Language Act. I'm asking you to clarify
your point
that you're saying that the DUP... Are you saying the DUP did not sign up to the St Andrews Agreement?
The position was quite clearly that the St Andrews Agreement, which was signed in 2006, there was an agreement that between two governments, and it was quite clearly stated that anything in relation to an Irish Language Act was brought to the attention there of the United Kingdom government. Subsequently, the United Kingdom government introduced the St Andrews Act, and there is no mention of an Irish Language Act in that. Indeed, it was very clearly stated that in 2007, that by the leader of the Democratic Unionist Party, that was our position.
I'm trying to be clear. Did
Stephen,
the DUP
Stephen,
sign up to the... Are you disputing...
Sorry,
are you disputing that the DUP signed up to the St Andrews Act?
The St Andrews Act, we signed up to insofar as it did not... And at this point, it's about the Irish
Language. St Andrews Agreement I'm talking about. The St Andrews Agreement. Did the DUP sign up to it or not?
You've jumped there again.
Did the DUP sign up to the St Andrews Agreement? Yes or no?
The agreement was an agreement between two governments in Dublin and London.
Did you sign up to it?
The detail of that, no, we did not sign up to that.
You did not sign up to the St Andrews Agreement?
I encourage you, Stephen, and your researchers, rather than going through all this here now without the documentation, you don't have it in front of you, do you?
No, I do not,
right,
do
well
you?
Then, could I therefore direct, because I'm sitting looking at the documentation here, it's on the screen in front of me. The Fact Check NI website goes through the thing in complete detail and clarifies it precisely that there was no commitment.
That's to the Irish Language Act. But you're moving this morning. You're telling us
I was asked to come on, Stephen, talk about...
But you have moved this morning. You've now told us that the DUP did not sign up to the St Andrews Agreement,
Stephen,
which is a very important political statement party.
Stephen, if you want to be disrespectful and, I think, quite frankly, treating the issue in a way that is unfair even to the issue. Position clearly is, I was asked to come on to discuss an Irish Language Act. I've discussed that, and I'm saying clearly that whilst there is a reference to an Irish Language Act in the St Andrews Agreement, it was not signed up to.
Thank you very much
for your time, Stephen. I have constituents that they need to see, and they do have a priority. It's important that we accommodate as best we can our constituents. So thank you very much indeed.
Patsy McGlone, your reaction to that. Thank you, Nelson. Good morning.
reaction to specifically what Nelson said about the St Andrews Agreement.
The DUP now telling us they never signed up to it.
Well, it's kind of odd because they spent an awful long time over there negotiating on it. But nevertheless, he doesn't seem to appear to want to commit to that. And you pushed him very, very hard there to get a commitment from him. But they did spend a lot of hours, like many other parties over in Scotland. It's kind of odd they walked from it then. And they seem to be even putting it further at arm's length now. But there you have it. To get it back to the Irish Language Act, it's inevitable that if we are to move forward, if we are to have a society which is there to accommodate and respect difference, we must move to a stage where each other's identities are fully respected. Now, this is one of the things that has been absent from the actual Assembly and indeed the Executive itself. It has just been used, and we've seen some of it there today, as you're not having this because you're not having that.
That's not what Nelson has said. That's misrepresenting what he has said.
No, sorry, I wasn't talking specifically about him. I was talking about the performance of the Executive over this last 10 years. That's my observation of it, and that specifically whenever it came to the Irish language, it was a case of, no, you're not having that, and then we moved into a spiral of negativity. We have never, either in the Assembly or at the Executive level, had a situation where people sat down and said, right, I'm Irish, you're British, let's define what that is, what that means, and how we accommodate each other. Because it's only whenever we get to that point of accommodation and respect for each other's identities that we actually move forward to a society which is actually reconciled in itself. And key and integral element of that is the Irish language, which goes to really the heart and identity of many, many people. People who value it for what it is, for its richness, for its cultural value, not as Nelson sought to portray it there, something that he quoted from Martin O'Muller about Chucky Arla and that type of stuff. That type of stuff is highly political. It's in the past anyway, but it's extremely negative. There are a lot of people for whom the Irish language is extremely positive. It's vibrant. It's something as a key element and part of their lives and their children's lives, and they deeply value it. And now that message seems to have been deliberately or otherwise lost on the DUP, and with the greatest of respect to Nelson and the DUP, they don't interpret how the Irish language is for me and people like me who value it deeply.
Dahi Mackay, I do want to come back to what Nelson McCausland has said. This is not talking about the Irish Language Act. He is now saying that the DUP never agreed to the St Andrews Agreement, the whole St Andrews Agreement. He is saying it was an agreement between the two governments and was not signed up to by the DUP.
Well, let's take what Nelson is saying. What Nelson is saying is that an Irish Language Act was agreed to and that the British government were going to introduce it. What is factually correct in all of this is that the DUP did not oppose the inclusion of that in the Act. There's no sign of that anywhere. So perhaps a resolution to this issue, because there is possibly, there's certainly the prospect of direct rule being reintroduced. And according to Nelson, the British government signed up to an Irish Language Act. So I don't think the DUP, if the British government were to be put into position, of course, that'd be highly questionable anyway. But if they were to go ahead and introduce it, I don't think the DUP have an argument against that because they did not oppose the inclusion of that. Now, Nelson is arguing that the DUP did not directly sign up to it, but they did not oppose the fact that the British government would introduce an Irish Language Act, which is very, very clear and explicit in the St Andrews Agreement. So if we're not going to have devolution going forward, then the British government will have to be pushed, certainly, to enact an Irish Language Act.
OK, Dahi Mackay and Patsy McGlone, thank you very much indeed.